Today on The King is Coming.
Sometimes people can be so grouchy, so negative, so full of no faith. God can't do it. They never do see him do it. And even if they see the evidence of the miracle, they never participated in themselves. God can be moving all around you and you missed it. What a fool he was. Don't be that man. Hello, this is Ed Heinzen with The King is Coming. The Bible records well over 100 miracles, many of them very familiar to us. Jesus walking on the water, etc. But we want to focus in these weeks on some of the forgotten miracles of the Bible. Five miracles that appear in 2 Kings in the Old Testament, most of which many people have never heard of. We're going to examine some of the most amazing, unusual, and interesting things that God ever did when he intervened in human life. And it'll remind us that he can intervene in our lives as well. The miracle you're looking for may be just around the corner.
The Bible records over 100 miracles, many of which have become well known through the ages. In our exciting series, Forgotten Miracles of the Bible, Dr. Heinzen examines five amazing miracles from the book of 2 Kings, some which many have never heard of. Stories of the miraculous, stories of the unusual, and stories of God intervening in human life. This series will be an excellent reminder that God can do miracles. Yours may be just around the corner. For your gift of only $45 or more to World Prophetic Ministry, you will receive a copy of this five-part DVD series, Forgotten Miracles of the Bible. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com today. This month on The King is Coming, Dr. Heinzen wants to offer you an incredible resource. Exploring Bible Prophecy by Tim LaHaye and Ed Heinzen is your all-in-one handbook on the prophecies of the Bible. With more than 500 pages of helpful information and useful charts, this book will help bring you clarity to the prophecies in Scripture. Dr. Heinzen would like to send you Exploring Bible Prophecy as our thank you for your gift to this program. Call The King is Coming today or go online to thekingiscoming.com.
Hello, this is Ed Heinzen with The King is Coming. We're looking at five forgotten miracles of the Bible. There are over 100 miracles recorded in the Bible, incredible, powerful interventions of God in human history and human life. The ones recorded here in 2 Kings in the Old Testament have often been forgotten and overlooked. Elijah and Elisha parting the water, the healing of Naaman the leper in the Jordan River, the raising of the widow's son, the filling of the jars with oil that multiplied, etc. The story of Elisha blinding the entire Syrian army on one occasion. But we come today to miracle number five in our list, probably the most unusual, bizarre, incredible story in the entire Bible. I can almost guarantee you, you have never heard a sermon on this passage of Scripture. It is that unusual. Now, the setting of it again, there was tension between Syria, whose capital was Damascus, and northern Israel, whose capital was Samaria. And the Jewish people of northern Israel were far away from God. All of their leaders were ungodly. And God kept giving them opportunity after opportunity to repent, to seek him, to come back to him. But time after time, they continued to fail. Last time we saw that God even used the prophet Elisha to bring a temporary truce between Syria and northern Israel. But we come today to our admonition, don't give up. When everything seems to be going wrong, God is still going right. When it looks like the circumstances are so difficult, so incredible, so beyond your comprehension, God can still move, and God can still accomplish great things. And in this story, he's going to do it through four lepers, of all people. God's going to bring about one of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament by a desperate move of four lepers. The story of miracle number five is found in 2 Kings chapters 6 and 7. And it begins in chapter 6, verse 24, with an invasion of Samaria. That later it came to pass, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered his army and went up and besieged Samaria. That means the army surrounded the city, cut off all the supply lines, and they're going to just sit there and starve them out. But sooner or later, they're going to run out of food. Sooner or later, they're going to run out of water. Sooner or later, they're going to have to come out and surrender. We're not going to waste men going in to attack it. We're going to wait for them to come out and surrender. Joram is the king of Israel at this time. The siege goes on for months. Verse 25 says, it was so bad, there was a great famine in Samaria. The food supply had been cut off, and they besieged it until a donkey head sold for 80 pieces of silver. Donkey head soup. That's how desperate they are for food. Now, according to the Old Testament, Leviticus 11, the donkey was considered unclean. The Jews were not supposed to eat dead donkeys. But they're desperate. And donkey heads are selling for 80 pieces of silver. Then it gets worse. And a cab, it says in the King James Version, two pints of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. Now, whether they were eating it or cooking with it or whatever, they're that desperate. Things are bad. People are eating donkeys and poop. That's the whole idea in the story. They're that desperate. And the king of Israel was passing by on the wall. He's looking out at the enemy army besieging his city. And he's distraught. He knows, I can't defeat them. I can't stop them. I can't drive them away. We're dealing with very, very difficult times. Chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. The besieging army, the famine, the escalation of food prices, and people are eating dove's dung and donkey heads. So then some of the people have to make some very desperate choices. In verses 26 to 33, you have one of the saddest, most tragic, bizarre stories in the entire Bible. Sometimes when you're watching the news, they'll say, be prepared. There may be shocking things here that you don't want to see or hear. Be prepared. This is tough stuff. King's walking on the wall, and a woman cried out to him in verse 26, help, my lord the king. And out of frustration, he said, if the Lord doesn't help you, I can't help you. We're all out of food. We're all starving. We're all eating donkey head soup, lady. I can't help you. The barn floor is empty. The wine press is empty. What ails you? What do you want? And she said, well, this other woman said, give me your son, your baby, and we'll eat him today. And tomorrow, we'll eat my baby. We're starving. So if you'll let me eat your baby today, we can eat my baby tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. They've turned to cannibalism. And I said to her the next day, all right, it's your turn. Give me your baby that we may eat him. And she's had her son, and she won't let me eat him. Help. Their whole sense of morality is so upside down. They're so confused. They're so frustrated, etc. That she's upset because the other lady hit her child. And it came to pass, verse 30, when the king heard the words of the woman, he rent his clothes. He put on sackcloth. He's in a time of mourning, walking on the wall. And he said in verse 31, God do so to me and more, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Go get that prophet Elisha, I'm going to kill him. Now, we have to assume in the story that Elisha must have warned the king this was going to happen. Elisha was the prophet who had blinded the Syrian army years before and brought him into Samaria and said, feed him and send him back in peace. But now they've come back again in war. Something's gone wrong, and Elisha apparently has predicted this, and the king of Israel is blaming Elisha. When things go wrong, people want to blame the preachers. People want to blame the people of God because they stood up for morality, for righteousness, for decency, etc. And he sends a messenger to the house of Elisha, go get him and arrest him and bring him to me. The messenger shows up, and Elisha's friends are in the house and say, grab the messenger. And Elisha said, calm down. Wait a minute. I can hear the king's footsteps behind him. And the king is so curious, he can't leave it alone. He's outside the door. Open the door. And sure enough, there stands the king of Samaria, the Jewish king, Joram. He said, bring him in. I've got a prediction to make. I want him to understand something. And Elisha makes one of the most incredible, dramatic predictions in all of the Bible. A prediction that's going to involve an economic reversal, totally. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. He's talking now to the king of Israel and his servant. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel. Two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. You're paying 80 pieces of silver for donkey heads? Tomorrow they'll be virtually giving away food in the gate of Samaria. God is going to reverse the whole process. God is going to intervene miraculously, dramatically. And the king's advisor protests. It says, verse 2, the Lord on whose hand the king leaned. That means depended on him for advice, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord made windows in heaven, how could this be? You're crazy. That can't happen. If God opened up heaven and dumped out food, this is never going to happen. And Elisha looked at him and said, behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat it. Strange prediction. How's God going to do this? How's God going to reverse the besiegement, the threat of the enemy army, the economic disaster that they were facing, the famine? It'll all be over by tomorrow at this time. Who's he going to use? Prophets of God, the army of God, the angels? No, God's going to use four lepers who make a drastic decision in chapter 7. The prophet makes the dramatic prediction in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 7. And then the four lepers make the drastic decision. Take your Bible and look at 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say, well, maybe we'll enter the city, the famine's in the city. There's no food there. We're going to die. And if we sit here, we're going to die. What are we going to do?" Now, their names are not given in the Bible. And I'm sure they probably had Jewish names. But because they were lepers, they were outcasts. The people will not let them in the city because they have leprosy. So they're sitting at the gate, locked out, hoping maybe the people of Samaria will take pity on us and open the gate and let us in. And finally, one of them said, "That's not going to happen. They're not going to let us in. We're going to sit here till we starve to death. And even if they open the gate and let us in, there's no food in the city. We're going to starve to death in there. And if we sit here long enough, the Syrian army is going to come charging in here and run right over top of us and kill us. We're going to die. What are we going to do?" Now, I don't know their names, but let me just give them names. Four lepers. We'll call them Harley, Charlie, Farley, and Clyde. Now, Harley looks at Farley, and Farley looks at Charlie. I think we should just sit here. I think we should wait and see if they let us in. I'll just let the Syrians kill us when they come. Finally, Clyde speaks up and goes, "Look, you idiots, we can't sit here and just die. So I got an idea." "Yeah, what's your idea?" "Why don't we, early in the morning, while it's still twilight, just barely some light coming up, walk out to the camp of the Syrians, we can see them out there, and surrender. And maybe they'll take pity on us. And maybe they'll feed us. And maybe they'll save us alive. And if not, if they kill us, we shall but die. We're going to die anyway. We're going to die if we sit here. We're going to die if we get inside Samaria. We're going to die if the Syrians attack. And we might die if we surrender, but at least there's a chance. While there's life, there's hope. Let's go surrender to the Syrians." And Harley looked at Farley, and Farley looked at Charlie, and they said, "That's a better idea than any of us have thought of. Well, let's try it." And the four lepers get up in the dark, and they start walking toward the camp of the Syrians. Lepers, whose skin flakes off and rots away, shuffling along probably as they go. And then the divine intervention of God takes place in the story to fulfill the prediction of the prophet. God turns up the reverberator of the universe. And as these four lepers stagger out to the camp of the Syrians, God causes the Syrians to hear a great noise. And it scares the living daylights out of them. And this is one of God's favorite interventions. When Gideon fought the Midianites, he scared them away with a few trumpets and some broken pottery. God scares away the entire Syrian army with four lepers, that's all. They rose up in the twilight, verse 5. They came to the camp of the Syrians, and when they got to the uttermost part of the camp, there was nobody there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and horses and a great host. And all it was four desperate lepers. And they said to each other, "The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians and a huge army. We're all going to die." And they rose in the twilight and fled and left the tents empty, left the horses and the donkeys tied there, and fled for their lives. God can cause people to hear something that scares the daylights out of them. In the book of Isaiah, Jerusalem is under attack by the Assyrians from Iraq. They hear a rumor, Tirhaka, the Ethiopian from Africa is coming. We're all going to die. But he never came. God can cause the enemy to make serious mistakes, even in a time of war. We have all kinds of examples historically of divine interventions of God in those times. God intervened. And when the lepers got to the camp, the Syrians were gone. And it says they came to the uttermost part of the camp, verse 8, and they did eat and drink and carried away silver and gold and raiment. I mean, this is a big day for the lepers. Man, look at this. There's chicken everywhere. Grab the fried chicken. Gobble the chicken down. Eat the steaks, etc., that were left on the grill. Get rid of these old rags. Put on all this fine clothing that got left behind, etc. Grab handfuls of gold and silver. We're rich. But then all of a sudden, they came under conviction in verse 9. And they said to one another, we do not well. Guys, come on, we're not doing the right thing here. Because this is a day of good tidings, good news. And yet we hold our peace. How can we stay out here and eat all this food and grab up all this money and all these clothes and all this stuff when the people back in Samaria are starving to death? The people that locked them out of the gate, the people that wouldn't let them in. When these are days of good news, we do not well if we hold our peace. I don't want to over-spiritualize the story, but you and I experience the good news of the gospel. And if we keep it to ourselves and we enjoy all the benefits and all the blessings and don't share it with those that are starving to death spiritually, we do not well. So they go back to town. I can just see them. They come to the wall. Guys, it's daylight now. They're chomping on chicken bones and waving it at them. The Syrians are gone. They fled. They ran away. Come on out. There's food. There's money. There's stuff. And somebody speaks up and goes, no, it's a trick. Don't do it. You run out there. It's an ambush. They're waiting in the weeds. They'll kill us all. Finally, the king goes, okay, wait a minute. Send a couple of guys out there to check it out. And a couple of guys go out, and sure enough, they come back. They're gone. And the people race out of the city, raid the tents, grab the food, grab the gold, the silver, the horses, the animals, etc., bring everything back into the city. Man, these are days of good news. Everything has reversed as the prophet said it would. They're giving away food in Samaria. And the king of Samaria, Joram, turns to that advisor who said, how could this happen? God opened windows at heaven, this isn't going to happen. And said to him, you be in charge of the gate. Somebody's got to keep a record of all this stuff. How much food are they bringing in? How many horses? How many donkeys? Etc. Somebody's got to write all this down. And the advisor is standing in the gate trying to keep the record. And the Bible says in verse 16, they spoiled the tents of the Syrians so that a measure of fine flour sold for a shekel. And two measures of barley for just a shekel, one coin, according to the word of the Lord that he had given by Elisha, the prophet. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he had leaned, his advisor, to have charge of the gate, and the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. And so was fulfilled the prophecy. You'll see it with your own eyes, but you will never eat of it. Imagine him standing there trying to write everything down, and they're walking by, give me a chicken bone. He doesn't get it. And all of a sudden, he gets trampled to death. Sometimes people can be so grouchy, so negative, so full of no faith. God can't do it. They never do see him do it. And even if they see the evidence of the miracle, they never participated in themselves. God can be moving all around you and you missed it. What a fool he was. Don't be that man. God is moving powerfully. God is still doing the miraculous. Don't miss it. Don't be so blinded to the activity of God that you do not see the hand of God in your life. And the hand of God has moved in history to send the Son of God to the cross, to die for your sins, to rise from the dead, to offer you the gift of eternal life. And you could hear about it. You could even see it in other people's lives and miss it. Don't miss it. God loves you, and God wants to bless you both now and forever.
World Prophetic Ministry is excited to offer a limited-time DVD and book bundle set just for you. We are combining two of our most recent teaching series that will truly bring the Scriptures to light in your life in a brand new way. Dr. Heinsohn will lead you through some of the most important and inspiring prophecies in Scripture in our 8-part series, Major Prophecies of the End Times. He will also shed light on some of the most fundamental doctrines of Scripture in our 8-part series, Essential Bible Doctrines. You don't want to miss this limited-time offer. For any gift of only $149 or more, you will receive your copy of both Major Prophecies of the End Times and Essential Bible Doctrines on DVD. Order now and also receive a free copy of 12 Essential Doctrines and the Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy, a wonderful pair of books to deepen your understanding of Scripture. Call 800-627-2767 or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you for your support. Some of the most amazing prophecies in all of Scripture have to do with the great end times battles. The Battle of Gog and Magog, the Battle of Armageddon, and the final revolt after the millennial reign. In his 3-part series, Great End Times Wars, Dr. Heinsohn will give insight into these 3 battles and dig into what the Bible has to say about these great wars to come. To get your copy, Great End Times Wars, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.